As Jeff was saying a moment ago, next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent. Advent simply means coming. And it is a time to remember how long the world had to wait for Jesus, and that we are still waiting for his final return in glory. If you'd like to, and I encourage you to, read ahead a little bit for our Advent scriptures, Advent messages. Throughout the four Sundays of Advent, I'm going to be preaching out of the first chapter of Luke. We're all really familiar with the second chapter of Luke, which tells us about the birth of Jesus. Very, very familiar words that we know really well. We're not as familiar with the events that Luke tells us leading up to the birth of Jesus. And that's in chapter 1, and we're going to be living in that chapter throughout the Sundays of Advent. So, I forgot one thing. Okay. Is it too much? If it'll be a distraction, I don't want to wear it. Okay, too much. Okay. Okay, you're good sports. Turn with me to Luke chapter 17. And this is, I think, I chose this text because I think it's appropriate both to Thanksgiving, because it's about giving thanks where thanks is due, but it's also about the lordship, the kingship of Jesus, and the appropriate response to Jesus and his saving work. Luke chapter 17, and I'm going to read verses 11 through 19. Hear now the word of God. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when Jesus saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Would you bow with me? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. To me, it's really fascinating that we know next to nothing about these 10 people except that they're lepers. It's as if leprosy has completely taken over their identity. There are 10 lepers. We don't get their names. We don't know how many are men, how many are women. But I guarantee you that every one of these 10 was not always a leper. Every one of them is a son or a daughter, a husband or a wife, a mother or a father. But all that's been erased. There are 10 lepers. And as you, and I'm sure you know, leprosy was a disease that forced them to keep their distance from everybody. And maybe particularly because it's not just that people were afraid of, you know, catching leprosy, but it was seen as having a moral component. If you're a leper, you must have deserved it. You must be an especially wicked sinner. And so when they see a holy man like Jesus, they're going to keep their distance, partially because the law tells them they must keep their distance. And it really got me thinking, what is it that makes people stay at a distance from Jesus? Why do so many people not want to approach close to Jesus? I used to think that it was only pride. That people who want to keep Jesus at arm's length, it's because they're too proud and they don't want to admit that they're sinners. I used to think that, and I'm sure that that's true in a lot of cases, but I think in a lot of cases it's also fear. I could not possibly get near him. I've goofed up my life way too much. My life is a train wreck. What would Jesus want to do with me? And I certainly couldn't get near Jesus-y people, the church, because I wouldn't fit in there. I'm not like those people. They wouldn't accept me if they knew about me. So people get accustomed to keeping Jesus at arm's length, and they get accustomed to keeping Jesus-y people at arm's length, because I can't go there. Now, the irony is, let me ask you another question. And this is the irony, because people need Jesus. And let me ask you another question. What does the church have to offer? Friendship? Fellowship? Go to the bowling alley. Join the Lions Club. Help with your family life, your marriage. Watch TED Talks. Good music? Go to the symphony. Go to the Philharmonic. You like rock and jazz? Go to a club downtown. What do we have to offer? Witty and charming preacher? You know the answer. Jesus. Amen. Brothers and sisters, all we have to offer a hurting world is the greatest and the best, the Savior. And that He is in our fellowship, that we are seeking Him in humility, that we also are broken sinners who have come to know Him and we want to introduce others to Him. That's all we've got for this broken world that wants to keep its distance. This little powerful little incident in the ministry of Jesus, and this one out of ten making a beeline to Jesus, it is always, always, always a good time to rush toward Jesus. Make that your personal commitment for the season of Advent. To rush toward Jesus. To get closer to Him. To seek Him. To know Him. Now, When Jesus saw all these lepers, Jesus told them, "Go and show yourself to the priests." Now the people would do that in order to be declared healed. The priests would examine them to see if they're free of leprosy. And if they are, the priests can certify them. They're now cleansed and they can rejoin the community. Now that's kind of interesting because usually there are other healings where Jesus healed someone first and then told them, go see the priest and get certified. But this time, Jesus just told them to start walking toward the priest as if they were already healed. Now, why is that? Perhaps it's because when people have been crippled by fear, and maybe you've been crippled by fear, I know I have. When people are crippled by fear, the first thing that you have to do is decide you're not going to be a victim any longer. You're not going to blame the world any longer. You're not going to blame people around you any longer for whatever problem it is you're dealing with. The first step to being liberated out of victimhood is to refuse to be a victim. And Jesus is telling them to take steps to move toward healing. It reminds me of the fifth chapter of John's Gospel, where Jesus encountered a man by the pool of Siloam who had been there. He was an invalid. He was crippled. He had been there for 38 years. And the first question Jesus asked him, do you remember what it was? Do you want to get well? What a question. It's as if he said, are you tired of being a victim yet? You tired of blaming all the world? Look in your own heart. And those 10 lepers, as they made their way toward Jerusalem to see the priest, they found themselves healed. Now, we're going to have to be brief about this, but this this is both a Thanksgiving sermon and a Christ the King sermon. Three kinds of gratitude are present here. And the first kind of gratitude that we see is when this one leper turned back toward Jesus and started moving toward Jesus. It's an act of gratitude. It's an acknowledgement that Jesus is the giver of this healing. And the first step of gratitude, brothers and sisters, is to acknowledge that God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. Everything we enjoy. Our families, our work, our health, this bountiful nation that we live in, the freedoms that we enjoy, everything that we hold dear comes to us not because we are extra special people, but because we have a wonderful, generous God. So the first step is just to turn toward Him and say thank you. Now, remember, all 10 were healed. And they all got to keep their healing, even the 9 who kept walking away. There's no indication they lost their healing. Ingratitude will not mean that every blessing God has given you will be snatched away. God doesn't work that way. Jesus said He causes His rain to fall on the just and on the unjust. Ingratitude will not mean your blessings will be lost. It's a lot worse than that. It means you won't meet the Savior. You won't meet the giver. Now, I don't know about you, but every Bible story that I read, I have a really bad habit. Well, and I'm saying this because I know you have the same bad habit. Don't you read Bible stories and kind of kind of put yourself in the role of the hero? I mean, I'm the guy that went back to say thank you, right? Aren't you? I'm not one of those nine that just walked, you know, kept walking away. But this text tells us that 9 out of 10 walk away without bothering to say thank you. But this one who did turn around and come back to Jesus shows us the second and most important kind of gratitude. That he threw himself on the ground at the feet of Jesus. And he's lying prostrate before the feet of the king, which is absolutely the appropriate position to be in before the king of all creation, who humbled himself and laid aside his glory and came among us in humility in the form of this itinerating Jewish preacher. And we sang it a little while ago, meekness and majesty together. That's the second and best kind of gratitude, to get on your face before Jesus. Many of us are willing to turn back toward Jesus to say that thank you, but we want to say our thank you from a great distance. Thanks, Jesus. Oh, no. You don't have to come over here. Just, you can stay right there. But thank you. You've been so good to me. That's not true worship. True worship is to throw yourself at the feet of Jesus. Make a fool of yourself. Or as Paul would say, a fool for Christ's sake. That's where we get to the point where we can say, as along with the Apostle Paul, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Now you're worshiping Christ for who he is and not simply for the instrumental benefits he gives you. You know what instrumental benefits are? Those are the blessings, those are the gifts, your house, your family, your career, your retirement fund. No. To throw yourself at the feet of Jesus, you're no longer worshiping him for the instrumental benefits, but for who he is. And all those instrumental benefits, they're all wonderful things. They are all given to you on loan. Family, children, work, health, home, possessions, even life itself, all of it is going to be returned. Every one of those things is stamped, return to sender. And one day they're going to go back. And if you have not yet cast yourself at the feet of the Savior, you're going to live in fear of losing those things. Once you've surrendered your heart to him, thrown yourself down at his feet and acknowledged him as king, now it's all about him and it's not about those things. Because you've trusted all those things into his hands. And they're not yours to worry about. Because they were gifts from him to begin with. And there's a third kind of gratitude. Jesus told the man at his feet, "Get up, go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the third kind of gratitude. To go on your way, walking with Jesus as a person made new in him. Jesus, when he says your faith, I think when Jesus says your faith has made you well, he's not talking about the healing of the body because the man already had that. I think he's talking about the deeper healing of the heart, of the spirit, that was received when he came and threw himself at Jesus' feet. You will never be able to get on your way in life apart from faith in Jesus Christ. This is faith, not that Jesus will make your dreams come true, that he will fulfill all your plans, but faith in Jesus no matter what happens along the way. Now your gratitude is not just in the blessing, but in the blesser. Now you're free to live free of fear, free to get on with the grace of life, the gift of life. Jesus does not ask us to stay at his feet. He wants us to get on the road with him as somebody who knows we're on a journey with him. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Mighty God, send your Holy Spirit into our lives and give each one of us the humility and the grace to make it all the way to Jesus. We're so thankful that you have removed the distance between us and made the way so that we can turn back to you in praise and thanksgiving and lose ourselves at your feet, lay down our lives at your feet, only to hear your mighty and tender call to return on your way as a people who know how to walk in faith. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.